Hello and welcome to Dear Franny, the podcast where I have uncommon conversations about love with fascinating people. I'm your host, Francesca Hoagie. I'm really excited for you to hear today's episode with my friend Damona Hoffman. Damona is a certified dating coach and TV personality who starred in two A&E Network series, hashtag Black Love and A Question of Love. She's a contributor for CNN Headline News and BET.com, The Washington Post. She works with Match. She's been in Oprah's O Magazine and more. Damona also hosts the long-running weekly podcast Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman. And you should check out her podcast. I've been on it. I listened to it. It's great. I'm really excited for you to hear this conversation with Damona. Damona and I have a lot in common. We're both dating coaches. We both have podcasts, and we both believe in some real woo-woo stuff that not everybody believes in, but we have some strong opinions about the woo-woo and how you can use it to really help you with anything in your life, including finding love. Yes, yes, even finding love. Please enjoy this uncommon conversation with my friend Damona Hoffman.
So, Damona.
Yes, Franny.
First of all, thank you for going spinning with me before we recorded today.
If only we could have this podcast in smell-o-vision. People would really know what we're made of.
Oh, man. I think it's really impressive. And I feel like we got into our bodies and we sweated it out. And now we can just like, I don't know. Don't you feel relaxed?
Sort of. My heart rate's still a little elevated.
Okay.
But,
all right.
But I'm focused.
Okay. Well, take some deep breaths as we still cool down here. So soulmates.
Yes.
Do you believe in the concept of a soulmate?
No, I don't believe in soulmates, which surprises a lot of people.
Yeah, it's
as
surprising.
A love coach.
Yeah.
They think that of course I should believe in soulmates. And, I read a statistic, I think it was something like 78% of Americans believe in soulmates.
That's a lot.
And yeah. And I'm like, no, that's crap. Because that when most people use the term soulmates, that means that you believe there's one person that you are predestined to be with. And it is your mission in life to find that one person.
Yeah. Yeah.
I find that really limiting.
Well, that's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous. That definition of soulmate is absurd. Of course, there's not just one person. Like that would just, oh, and you just happen to be born, you know, in the same town, or you just happen to like go to the same school. Like it's just too random. But I think for me, a soulmate is not about being one person, because I think you can have multiple soulmates. But there is something undeniable about the fact that sometimes when you meet a person, there just feels like this recognition, like on a very deep level. There's something that connects, and there's something about each other that you seem to understand in a way that you shouldn't, because you don't know each other yet.
Yeah, I will say I have felt that. Interestingly, not with my husband. I have felt that between friends before.
Yes, and I believe that friends can be soulmates.
Yeah, like there's a woman I was on a yoga retreat, and we actually originally met during yoga before we were both love coaches.
I know, that's so funny. We've just been like tracking each other slowly for like 14 years.
I know, right? yeah, I met her on a yoga retreat. We ended up talk about kismet. We were just assigned randomly as roommates. And we have had this deep connection where we like practice yoga virtually together now.
That's so nice.
And we've gone on other yoga retreats, and I've gone to visit her for her birthday and brought my daughter to meet her son. And I just have always felt since I met her like I've known her forever. Mm. And yet, like, I would never say, oh, she's my soulmate, but I would say I feel like we were meant to meet, and it was a cosmic connection. But with my husband, I really feel like, and he's the person. I've been with him now 16 years. We have a very happy marriage. I hope to be with him many more than 16 more years. His own parents have been married 52 years, 51 years. I look at it in love like you're playing the long game. Like people who listen to my podcast, Dates and Mates, I talk about slow love a lot.
Yes.
And letting the relationship develop over time. Mm-hmm. So if I was looking for that whiz-bang soulmate connection, I would have missed out on something really great.
Yes, yes. And I agree with that. Like, I think definitions matter, right? Mm-hmm. So defining soulmate as you see each other across the crowded room, instant chemistry, that's the one. Like, that is not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, that's lust. You know, a lot of times that chemistry radar is off and it's just leading you to something that's just your same dysfunctional pattern.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, actually chemistry, that instant chemistry can be a really bad sign, mm-hmm. if you have a really, you know, if you have a bad love dating pattern, mm-hmm. and you meet somebody and you're instantly attracted to them, chances are, mm-hmm. you're just going to, like, go right back into your same old pattern. But I'm talking more about, it's not like a lust thing necessarily. It's more of just like, there's just something about this person that feels so familiar and comfortable, and I feel, like, mm-hmm. understood on a level that doesn't, like, quote unquote, make sense for how well we know each other, because we don't mm. know each other. So why do we understand each other so well? You know what I mean?
I do. I just think that 78% of people, they are looking for that
yeah.
fireworks chemistry. And again, I don't know that I've ever experienced that with a romantic partner. Like, there've definitely been people that I've been, like, physically attracted to. And with my husband, I definitely found him attractive. Interestingly, I met him online. Yes, 16 years ago.
You're such a trailblazer. It's amazing.
I was not really trying to. I just was, like, really frustrated with the men that I was meeting. And I created a dating plan for myself called Operation Date Nice Guys, because I actually devised it with my boss, because she was like, I hate all these guys that you're dating. Everybody had the instant chemistry with, right?
Yeah.
That were just disappointment after disappointment.
More the same.
So she was like, there's a treasure trove of men online. And back then it was like, that was where people went who were more serious about dating.
Yes, it's so true. Very motivated people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a very different experience. But, you know, I believe me, I understand for all the listeners that are like, honey, it ain't like that anymore. Like, I've been coaching pretty much since then. So I've seen the evolution and I know what's out there in dating apps now, but I also know how to sort through it. But anyways, when I saw his profile, I did have that whiz bang. Like, immediately I saw his profile and I had all these rules, and I still, like, tell all my clients these same rules. But when I saw him, like, all the rules went out the window and I skipped the phone call. Like, we had, like, 2 emails and I was like, when can I meet you? But then when I met him, the first thing I thought was, oh, he looks like a really nice guy.
Oh, that's not.
And I thought I should set him up with someone. Like, I should introduce him to someone. Because I had forgotten for a moment that I was doing Operation Date Nice Guys. And just like you were saying, that initial chemistry that I kept being attracted to was leading me in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
So I was like, slow down. Let's get to know him and give him a chance. And I remember feeling, by the end of the date, I was really curious about him. And I also thought he was the most intelligent man I'd ever met. Mm-hmm. And he still is. And that was the thing, that it's the curiosity that I think drives you forward. But I do believe, I mean, we haven't really talked about this yet, but I also have always been interested in the unknown. Mm-hmm. And I've read tarot cards since I was 12 years old. I've practiced feng shui for, like, almost 20 years, and yoga and all this stuff. So I do believe that there is a certain order to the universe, mm-hmm. and that things happen as they are supposed to.
Yeah.
But I feel like sometimes we get in the way of the flow of that energy.
Yes, we do. And I think that no one teaches us how to date, but to the extent that they do, it's find somebody that you're instantly attracted to and hope that it all works out. And we see that obviously failing people time and time and time again. It's not a good strategy. I also had an Operation Date Nice Guys type strategy at one point, because first of all, I was really bad at dating and had very low, like, self-esteem and felt like, you know, no one's ever going to really like me. And that was, like, a whole thing. And then I started to, like, be like, well, is this true? Like, all these things that I thought about myself, I just started to question it, which was life-changing, because then once I started to question those things, then it was like, maybe I'm not the most unlovable, unattractive woman in the world. So maybe I should, maybe there's something I'm doing here. So then I was, then I went online, like sort of like you, I was an early adopter to online dating. None of my other friends were online, but I was like, I need to learn how to date and I don't know how else to do it. So then I went into the whole chemistry chasing thing, saying, you know, same thing, this isn't working, this isn't working. And then I was like, okay, I gotta change this again. And so, because again, I was learning how to date, I was learning how to flirt, I was pretty good at getting a first date, I wasn't great at getting a second date. So I was like, okay, operation get a second date. Okay, operation, like, you know, find a guy who's really crazy about me. Like, I just kept on, like, just kind of sifting. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, new level, new level, new level. So I totally understand that. But I think in terms of the unseen, I totally believe, you know, I'm also woo-woo. And I do think that there are things that you can do to put yourself in a mindset, and your mindset is everything, because if you have the right mindset, then that affects all of your actions. And if you're taking the right kinds of actions, then you're going to meet the right person and all those things. So when people say to you, and I know people come to you all the time, and I know on your podcast, Dates and Mates, check it out, everyone, if you haven't already, you know, you're always answering questions, like viewer questions, and people are always asking you, can I manifest my soulmate? How do I do that?
So, well, we want the quick and easy fix, right? Yeah. It's the same reason that people hear about my coaching program and I'm like, look, it's a 3-month commitment and this is how it works and this is what is required of you. And they're like, oh, do you know any matchmakers or could you just set me up on dates? And it's like, I mean, I could,
but
if you don't do the work,
yeah,
you're going to keep getting the same result. Doesn't matter if you pay a matchmaker $5,000 to $10,000 to set the date up for you.
Or more.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Depending. Yeah.
Yeah.
You really hit the nail on the head when you were talking about your process. Like, you realize, okay, it's not me, but it's what I'm doing here. And I need to take this information in and keep making changes. Mm-hmm. And so one of it is just the mindset of like, I want to figure this out. Yeah. And I'm willing to go through the process to get there. Like, I was just, I was critiquing a profile for a magazine earlier today. The woman said something that I think a lot of online daters right now say and do. She was like, oh, I just set up the profile on the whim. And I actually guessed this and she just confirmed, but she set up the profile on a whim. She like had to get through certain questions to get the profile online. So she kind of threw it all out there, picked whatever pictures, set it and forget it.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't get the results she wanted.
You're never going to meet anybody online doing that.
Right. And she kept thinking, oh, I should go back and revise my profile. I should pick different pictures. I should think about this. But then it gets kick the can down the road. Mm-hmm. But then you realize, oh, I'm getting the same kind of dates or the same kind of disappointment. And if you want something different, you have to do something different. If you want to get a,
insanity. But it's I think it's really hard because even people who are super proactive about other parts of their lives, we're just fed this whole fantasy about love that it's like, well, it's one thing if you want like a certain career, like go out, make sure you're doing all the right things, make sure you're like, okay, this isn't working, you know, let me like figure out like another path. But when it comes to romance, people just think that it's supposed to happen and it's supposed to be effortless. And if it's not, then
something's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with them or the system is broken.
Yeah. Or like you're just unlucky.
The number of people that have told me like, oh, well, dating apps suck. And it's like, really? Look at all of the marriages that have been made from dating apps.
Yeah.
If dating apps really and truly suck,
no one would ever meet anyone.
They would be out of business by now.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true.
They don't suck.
Yeah.
They're a wonderful tool.
They're a great tool.
To be able to expand your dating
pool. One tool. Shouldn't be all you're doing.
Yeah. But you can't, you know, don't hate the player. Hate the game, right? Like you have to figure out how to work the system for you.
Yeah.
So that's one part of the mindset is just like setting your mind, your intention of I would like to meet someone that is like this. Or I always begin my coaching program with visioning your ideal mate.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, it's like if you don't know what you're looking for, how are you going to find it? And this idea that I'll know it when I see it, that is part of the fantasy as well.
It is, and it's like, well, how many times have you seen it and you thought that was it and you were wrong?
Girl.
People don't like, they still think they overestimate their ability to determine really quickly who is and who isn't a good match for them. But, you know, it's funny that you say love vision because I am, you know, a woo-woo person and I have always been like, you do the woo-woo and you do the practical side by side, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when it came to dating, I got really, really good at dating. Like, I went from being like the worst dater to being like a really good dater. I could like flirt with anybody. I could make connections. It was easy. I could second date, third date.
And that proves it's a learned skill too.
It is 100% a skill. That's why I tell people, I'm like, I know this feels hard for you right now. It's not always going to feel this hard. I promise. Like, you're going to get better at this and then it will be less hard. So I'd gotten to this place and I'd gotten really good at, after a long time of like, okay, now I can attract guys and get into relationships pretty easily. It was like not quite clicking, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I gotta go deeper. And I wrote out this love vision for myself. It wasn't super long, but I just really focused on like, okay, how am I gonna feel when I find the guy? Like, what are we?
Oh, I love that you said that.
What's gonna, like, I really wanted to focus on like, you know, because I knew like I wanted to laugh together. What does that feel like? I knew I wanted like all these different things. So I wrote it down, tweaked it until when I read it, it was like, oh, I feel this in my heart. Like, mm-hmm. I was getting really excited about it. And I read that every night before I went to bed for like 2 weeks. And then I met my boyfriend on the street, walking down the street, walking home in West Hollywood. And we were on our second date. And I was like, oh my God, like
this
everything
feels. Yeah.
That was in my love vision, like all these feelings that I was getting so excited about, like I feel them.
Yeah.
It was.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's something that I try to share with my clients as well. And like, not everybody's woo-woo. So, you know, don't turn off the podcast now if you're like, I'm not woo-woo. It doesn't have to be woo-woo.
Yeah, it's not
that. But it's getting into that feeling, because, mm-hmm. yeah, you can make a list. You can say like, oh, he has to be 6'3" and he has to make $200,000 and he has to live within 5 miles of my house and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But how does it feel to be with him? Because that's really ultimately.
That's what it's about. Yeah. When you're on the sofa and all of the like excitement is gone and it's just day to day and you're like, you know, you're tired and whatever, like, how do you feel with that person?
Yeah.
You need to feel good. If you don't feel good, you're not in for a happy life.
Yeah, and that's part of the visualization. Like, sometimes I'll have people do vision boards. Sometimes I'll have people write out like what you're describing. I call it a living vision. And that's like a narrative. I say, place yourself 3 months, 6 months, a year into the future when you're already in the relationship with the person of your dreams. And take yourself through a full day of what it feels like to wake up next to this person, to experience being with them, to be loved by them, and to offer love to them.
Yes.
And
I
when
love
you can
that,
feel that.
Rihanna?
Yeah. When feel that, it's like you said, it really magnetizes it to you.
It really does.
And then you know it when you see it, because you know how it feels.
Yes, exactly.
You're not going to know what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to know how it feels.
Yeah.
But I did something kind of similar before I met my husband. I did feng shui, and my friend came over, and you know, just a little background on feng shui for those that are not woo-woo.
Yes, thank you.
It's not just, like, people think it's, like, just move your stuff, change your life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you just move your stuff around and
then make sure the universe bed is like, isn't facing this, and make sure you don't have this under the window, and if you want money, you have to make sure, like, you know, doorways are open and, like, all sorts of things.
Yeah, and tie red string on all of your faucets so that you don't, like, lose chi. Okay.
Oh, wow.
All of those things
are
elements of feng shui.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a feng shui teacher or master practitioner or anything. I'm just someone that uses the practice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really more about moving your stuff with intention. So it goes back to what we were saying earlier about having intention behind your actions. It's not just putting your bed in the south facing direction. It's putting your bed in the south facing direction with the intention of it bringing in a romantic partner.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look that up. I don't know if it's the south facing
direction. Yeah.
But that's the point. Like, one thing I do know from feng shui, you want to have pairs of things if you're trying to manifest a mate.
Yes. I actually, you know, it's funny that you say this, because I don't know a lot about feng shui, but I noticed this because when I was still living in New York and all my clients in New York, I would go to their houses, I would go to their apartments, and I noticed that like a lot of single women have a lot of images of single women, like a lot of like artwork where it's just like a lone woman, you know, like a figure of like a lone
goddess,
sad
warrior.
Yeah, like something. And I was like, I'm like, you know what? Like, if you're trying to attract a mate, like, you shouldn't be surrounding yourself with artwork that's just a picture of like a woman by herself, right?
Yes.
And it's like a really common thing. And I think that a lot of single women are kind of drawn to those solitary images because that's how they're identifying. But it's like, but that's not what you want. And I actually, so because of my clients, I really started to look at my own, because at this time I was still single. Mm-hmm. I started looking at my own artwork, and I didn't have like pictures of lone women, but I had like, I did have a lot of sort of like somber images. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I got to change this. And I intentionally went out and bought artwork that was like, you know, like two palm trees, like things that had, you know, love and hearts. And I have the silhouette of a man and a woman, like just, intentionally started putting all that stuff in my house and in my bedroom, because I was like, I need to like change the energy around this. So I'm sorry. So go on.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like some of it's energetic and some of it is, what are the messages you're feeding yourself every day? And things like color, texture of which materials you're using, they affect how you feel in a room. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't believe any of the energetic stuff, like you got to buy that. Like, yes, you walk into a red room, you feel one thing. You walk into a yellow room, you feel something.
Yes.
You walk into
a blue room.
Like our living room is blue, and I feel really calm there.
Yeah, blue is a great calming color.
Yeah. I didn't make that up. Mm-hmm. That's just how I feel. Yeah. So
yellow makes babies cry.
I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard that. I've never had a yellow room for a baby. I did have like a kind of peach room.
That's good though. I think
the baby
is good.
Slept okay.
Yeah, peach is good.
I went through this feng shui process where I first got really clear on what I was looking for. So I'm working with my friend who's a feng shui master. I'll give her a plug, by the way, because she's awesome. And she does feng shui from the heart.
Oh, amazing.
So it's kind of in our realm. She's in Miami, but she also works like remotely.
We'll put her info in the show notes for sure.
Yeah, since we're talking about her, I want to know how I want people to know how they can get it.
Yeah,
but she had me do something where you take a silver box and you put your intentions into it, and it oversimplifying this a lot, but you know, it basically attracts the energy to what you want to manifest. And so she said, I want you to put all the qualities of the mate that you want to meet in this box. And I was like, okay. You know, and I was like a little bit cynical at
this
point.
You're like, whatever, can't hurt.
Yeah. So I start writing qualities like intelligence, kind, you know, all of these. And as I put more and more qualities in there, and I'm doing what we were talking about earlier of like, how does it feel to be with this person, and trying to like draw the picture of this person that I want to be with. And I got, I don't know, 10 qualities in, and I was like, you know what? This is stupid. This person doesn't exist.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, there's no way. There's a person that has all these qualities. And she said, don't
judge
block
it.
Don't judge it.
Yeah.
Yes. Because if you say that before you've even like sent your wish to the universe, there's no way it will happen.
Yeah.
She reset my mindset there. And, you know, I put all the qualities in a box and I kind of forgot about it. And then several months later, I was moving and I was putting all the stuff away, and I found the box. Now, by that point, I had met this man named Seth Hoffman.
Aww.
And I thought he was pretty okay. I was like, oh, this is the box. And I pulled out the papers, and one by one, I said, these are all qualities. Not that I would like just say like, oh yeah, that's sort of him. Like primary qualities I would use to describe him. And 6 months earlier, I thought that that person didn't exist.
Yeah.
I used to say like, I made him up, which for some reason really offended him. You're like a fantasy. Like,
when I've said that to
can't
my,
be real.
I've said that in front of my boyfriend, like I totally manifested him. And he's like, no, you didn't. Cause he wants to feel like, you know,
I had a say in this too.
No, you didn't.
The universe brought us together. And I believe so strongly in it that elements of it now are incorporated into my programs. So yeah, I do all the tactical stuff, because I think that the energy you put out in through action is going to be the biggest game changer in your dating
absolutely.
Life.
Yeah. But if you believe and you're doing all these other things to support that belief, then I feel like the action will follow. The action always follows the belief.
Like, and it's foundational too. Yeah. It's like really getting clear on what you're looking for. And like even the element you said of reading it every night before bed, I have my clients do that too, just to really continue to crystallize and make that feel real. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, how many times have you, my daughter just turned 9. I told her that when I was turning 10, I had told myself, I started telling people like 2 months before my birthday that I was 10 already. I was just so eager to get there that people were like, how old are you? I'm like, I'm 10. That when I actually turned 10, I couldn't remember if I was turning 10 or 11. Because I had said it so many times that I convinced myself that it was true already. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's just like a small example of how you can really train your brain to believe certain things. Mm-hmm. And it's also, it is exemplary of how you, all these stories that we tell ourselves, like whether it's, you know, for me, it was like, oh, I'm too fat. Mm-hmm. I'm too ethnic. Mm-hmm. I'm too talkative, whatever,
exactly. fill in the blank.
And it's whatever those things that your past relationships, your parents, your community that mm-hmm. you grew up in, all of those inputs.
Yes, they totally do. The boy who rejected you when you were 10.
Yeah.
I can't even remember his name, but I remember the sting. Oh. It stuck with me for a really long time.
Yeah, I mean, we all remember that. You remember the feeling. You don't remember the name, but you remember the feeling.
Yes.
And that gets imprinted on you. So the more that you rewrite that feeling, the more that you'll be able to actually shift your path and let those stories that you keep telling yourself just be stories and not be reality.
Right. You don't have to co-sign them. You don't have to, you don't have to believe them.
Yes.
You can like disassociate yourself from them a bit.
Yeah. And say like, oh, well, that was true in the past. Mm-hmm. That happened. That's something that
is it's real. Yeah.
But I don't have to keep replaying that. Yeah. I can write a new story now.
Yeah. Just because it happened doesn't mean it's going to continue to happen.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah, it's huge.
And that's what we're conditioned to believe. A lot of my theory also comes from, I worked many years in the corporate side of entertainment. And, you know, they say, well, when you're interviewing someone, like ask them stories about their past, because the biggest predictor of how they'll behave in the future is how they've behaved in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Or like situations that they've been in. So if you let that be true, then you'll keep replaying.
Well, that is true for most people.
In the future. It is, but you have choice. You have choice.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I think a lot of us forget. And I mean, I forget it all the time too.
It's life changing when you realize that you actually have the power to make choices that are going to give you the life that you want.
Yeah. There's that quote, if you're not changing it, you're choosing it. And there's so many times where it's easy to kind of, I remember doing this when I was single, like fall into the victim mentality of like, oh, my roommate has another date for Valentine's Day and I'm single again. And this is because then we start.
Yeah, it's a story.
Start making it
make sense. All the things that you don't like about yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we tell ourselves all those things that made it true in the past. But then you're like stuck in a prison of the past and not able to move into the future.
So speaking of the future, and speaking of woo-woo.
You're going to ask me to tell you the future?
I mean, I would love for you to tell me the future if you have any thoughts on that. But I guess, what do you think about people who, using tarot cards, you know, consulting an intuitive to help you with your love life? Think that that is useful?
It's funny. I'm like the most unconventional psychic medium you'll ever meet. And by the way, I actually don't use a lot. Like, so yes, I am also a certified psychic medium, certified in psychic work and in mediumship. Clarifying, mediumship is talking to people on the other side. Psychic is talking to you soul to soul. I don't do that with my clients ever.
Yeah.
I feel that I use, like sometimes I write for the Washington Post Date Lab and I do matchmaking there. I do feel like sometimes I use my psychic intuition in terms of matching. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I have like two options in front of me, I'll just sit with this. And this is something I did an episode of Dates and Mates on, swiping with spirit. If you want to go back and look on how to sort of tap into your own intuition when you're looking at a swipe and you're going, okay, left or right, or like when you're deciding between two people, I let my intuition guide me to who's going to be the right person. Mm-hmm. That is what I would love to teach people how to do themselves, to use their own intuition.
That's hard for people though.
It's hard, but I feel like it's more valuable. And it's the same reason I'm a dating coach rather than a matchmaker professionally outside of Date Lab. Because if you're going to a psychic to tell you the answer, and I'm a huge fan of psychics, obviously. I have someone that I see twice a year, at least. Mm-hmm. I work in a circle with other psychics. So I think it's a wonderful tool, but it's just like the dating app. It's a tool. Mm-hmm. The problem is when we expect the tool to solve the problem for us.
Yeah.
And so people are like, well, they know instinctively. Like, yeah, people are really bad at knowing their own intuition, but they know when they know, right?
Yeah.
And then they'll go to a psychic and say, should I break up with my boyfriend or not? And it's like, if you came here to get that answer, you already knew the answer.
Yeah.
So no matter what I tell you, it's just going to confirm what you already know, or it's going to confuse you if it's really, you know, the wrong thing, or it's against your own intuition. It's going to send you on this whole path, and then you're going to come back to the same place eventually anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I do believe we all have the answers, but it's our job to get quiet enough and tap into it enough and be able to determine what's my intuition, like what's my actual inner wisdom and what's my fear.
Yeah.
In my head telling me something else. And I think that's why something like looking at, you know, a profile and being like, should I swipe? Should I not? You know, should I swipe right or left? For a lot of people, it's they already know what they want. Like they're already, you know, picking people based on their height or their looks or their this or their that. So they're like, well, my intuition is telling me to say yes because I'm attracted to this photo rather than like, you know what I mean? Like I think it's hard for people to understand that intuition is not the same as your patterns.
Or
that
the are chemistry.
Like you're, you know, like that are just like on autopilot that you're just like defaulting into the old belief. You know what I mean? It's not, that's not an easy thing for people. So like if someone were to come to you as a, do you take clients for psychic readings?
I do. Yeah. It's usually by referral only. Okay. And okay. I do a lot of parties actually. So if anyone has a party, I like that energy of being like with a group and giving people just like a little bit of intuition, a little advice there. I do sometimes work with people and, you know, I've had people that came to me with everything from, you know, I'm in a long distance relationship and should I break it off or not?
Yeah. And what do you say in a situation like that? Do you look at the cards and the cards were like, oh, this is a bad situation. Do you say break up with them or do you just coach them and ask them questions and kind of help them to get there on their own? Like what's your approach with that?
Well, I'll tell you, my psychic journey also has intensified in the last like 2.5 years. So I actually don't use the cards very much anymore. I use them as a tool. People like the cards, but most of what I'm giving in a reading is coming from my clairs, my clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience. So I'll say, look, I'm reading the cards. Here's what the cards say. You have this card and this card and this card. And that's like, I've been doing it since I was 12. So that's just the foundation. But if I'm tapping in psychically, here's what I feel. Here's what I think you're questioning. And a lot of times I'll turn it back on them because I'll know. I have a client that I'm working with who was dating this guy. She just got out of a relationship. She went online. I did her profile. She had more messages than I've ever, any client has ever had. And she goes out on her second date with this guy and her second date from the dating app and was like immediately jumping into a relationship with this guy. And she was like, how do I know? I want to know if he's the one. Now, I didn't use psychic with her at all. I knew psychically that he was not the one.
Mm-hmm.
I needed her to have this experience
to know for herself.
This is a learning for her. So I instead ask questions.
I have a client in this situation right now where I'm just like, she just has to go through it. I'm just asking her like
the questions,
asking her the questions, checking in. Is this in keeping? Do you think that this is in the direction of what you're looking for? Do you think that this is a step back? Do you think this is neutral? Like just asking her to like, but
and reminding her of her patterns.
Yeah.
So she messaged me this weekend and she was like, I've decided that I'm going to be dating other people. And I think that's so much more satisfying that she came to that conclusion.
Agreed.
And she figured out how to get into her gut and feel what that felt like of knowing, is this a yes or is this a no?
Yeah.
I could have told her, look, these are red flags. This is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is not in alignment with what you want.
Yeah.
But then I feel like she would question that decision.
She would. Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. Well, I think that any good coach does exactly what you're talking about, which is it's not, I don't think everybody understands this about coaching. It's not like, you're not just giving advice. You're not telling somebody what to do. You are helping them to clarify what they want. And then you're holding them accountable for their choices. But you do that through questioning. You do that through exercises. You do that through helping them shift their perspective. I think that, you know, kind of probably every good coach is psychic. You know, we have to have intuition.
Right.
Otherwise,
right.
We wouldn't be good at our jobs. I also read cards, not tarot cards, but I have this deck. I actually have a couple of them from my psychic life coach, and I'll name Marcella Kroll. Shout out to Marcella. I'll put her in the show notes too. And I mean, she and I like crossed paths in a very long serendipitous story, but she wound up giving me a deck of these cards that she created. And I'd never done anything like this before, but I just feel really connected to these cards and I do read them. And I give in readings to people that I'm shocked. I'm like, I've said things to people. I'm like, this this doesn't, I have no idea if this is going to resonate with you at all. Because in my mind, I'm like, this is really...
That's how it feels when you're starting it.
Like, I was like, this just feels really far-fetched. Mm-hmm. So, but the cards are so clear, I'm just going to tell you. And I remember I was in a bar in Brooklyn and I had my cards with me and I was with two of my girlfriends and I was giving them readings. And there were these other two women in the bar and they were like, oh, do you mind, you know, giving us readings? And I'm just doing this for fun. I don't really do this. And they were like, please. And I was like, all right, well, you know, and they said, we'll pay you. And I was like, okay, well, I'll do a reading for you. And if you want to pay me, you can pay me. Cause yeah. I'm not going to say no to money. I was like, you can pay me whatever you want if you want to. Right. And so I do this first woman's reading and it was all about how she had been in the background and she'd been like the person who was supporting all the time. And now it was her time to like step out into the forefront. Mm-hmm. And there was also something about water and how I was like, maybe you need to drink more water or like spend time near the water. Cause I was like, I don't know if any of this is resonating. And she's like staring at me open mouthed. And I've never met this woman before. I don't know anything about her. Right. And she's like, she had been Jay-Z's personal assistant for 10 years and she just quit because she wanted to start her own recording career. And she's like, and I'm always dehydrated. So she pulled out of her bag, she had this giant water bottle, like one of those water bottles that like reminds you to drink water. And she was like, it like beeps. It's like, you know, there's like Bluetooth in it. I don't know. And she's like, you just describe my life right now.
Wow.
And I was, oh my, I was like, is there something to this? I was like, this is crazy.
There is something
yeah,
to it.
Yeah. So it's,
and you know
it's
what's
crazy?
I bet you could do that without the cards too. Because like when you really, that's what's been the really crazy thing for me, because I've been interested in this for so long. And then I worked at the Sci-Fi Channel. I was head of programming over like Ghost Hunters and all these psychic shows. And I've always been interested in it, but yeah. I didn't know that part of that interest was that I had it in me. Yeah. So I was actually working on a show with James Van Praagh and he was using all these terms. I was like, what is he talking?
Is he a ghost hunter person? A psychic person?
Very famous medium.
Oh, okay.
He actually created The Ghost Whisperer. Mm. And he had a show on for a long time called like The Other Side or something. But yeah, very, very talented, very sweet man, very talented medium. But I was like, I don't know what he's talking about. Like all this group link and psychometry and like what, like I didn't know all of the specifics. So I just started studying it because I was curious. I wanted to be able to understand this so I could produce the show. And then I realized very quickly in class I could do that. And so I've been like blind tested sitting in front of a person that I've never met before and having that experience, like you're saying, where I get no feedback from them until like I read the comment card later and yeah. I'm like, okay, I wasn't making all of that up. And I've seen it as I've been doing the psychic circles. I've seen so many people that came to circle and were like, I thought I was making all this up the whole time. Like all those voices that are in your head that are like, don't go down there. They're like, send you a name or like, no, yes. Like those are all the energetic inputs that are, they're real.
Yeah.
But you have to trust it and you also have to know how to separate, like you were saying, what is your intellect and your own judgment from what is coming to you
in
intuitively.
Your
yeah, in your inner wisdom. So I bet you could do it without the cards. This is a challenge for you,
God,
girl.
I don't know.
But I think anybody listening can do it. And like, we're all different. There's a process to get there, like you were saying, getting quiet and meditating. Like,
so what's your advice for people? So if someone is listening and they're like, I don't think I have any intuitive ability, like what's your advice for them to get started?
First, start with meditating and finding that quiet time and that quiet space. And it can even begin with like, you know, 5 minutes.
Yeah. I always tell people to start with 5 minutes. I'm like, don't try to do more than 5 minutes if you don't meditate.
And I don't
just breathe.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of time for meditating. You know, I have two little kids and I don't do it every day, but when I do see a difference in my intuition when I do it.
Yeah.
You know, try to test yourself a little bit. See when you're swiping, really look at the profile and then close your eyes. Don't go based on what you see in the photos. Go based on the feel of that.
Oh, interesting.
And say, okay, what is my gut telling you? And like, be okay with whatever response comes to you first. And listen for that voice in your head or that feeling in your gut or even that picture that pops into your mind. Like sometimes it's also completely clear, like try to really clear your mind. And then like, what is the first picture that comes in your mind? And go based on that. And then see how it plays out. You can also, I find that journaling is really helpful in this
agree.
Too. So start with journaling every night and then getting, that kind of gets the chatter out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I get a lot of psychic dreams. That was something that always happened to me.
Mm.
I didn't know how or why.
I've had a few doozies in my life.
Ooh.
Just a few.
doozies.
Not bad necessarily, just like I had a dream and I'm like, that is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And then it happens.
And then it happens.
And I'm like, wow. But it's only happened, that's happened like actually twice. That's happened to me twice.
Mm-hmm.
But not for years, come to think of it.
But it's like you, when you're in that state, you're uninhibited. Your judgment isn't blocking you from being able to take in what your intuition is trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main way I get a lot of my... I did before, you know, I really started practicing it and learning how to use it, how to use the tool. That is a good place to start for somebody that's really new to it. And there's a lot of places that you can study. I studied with Lisa Williams, who is also an international psychic medium. Mm-hmm. She offers online courses.
I think I've heard of her before.
Yeah, and there's a lot of places you can go to study. I want to bring this to the masses. It's funny that I'm saying all of this and I never use it. Like maybe one day I'll do like a workshop or something on it. I also want to do, I'm saying it on this podcast because I'm like making a promise to everybody
accountability.
Here. Accountability. I'm going to do a yoga series about how yoga can also help you bring in your beloved.
I believe that.
There's so much that happens in your body that opens you up physically to open you up spiritually.
Agreed.
So, I'm going to do that.
Yes.
At some point
I'm
on
so
Instagram.
Excited. Please. Yeah. I'm actually, so I think I told you that I recently did a sound healing.
Yeah.
Training and I have to write a book report. That's like the last thing I need to do. That's like the last step in getting my certification. We have like all these books we have to read, and then we have other things we have to do. Like I had to do a bunch of sessions and all, but I've done all the sessions. I just have to like finish this and write my book report. But I have incorporated that into my coaching. It's just something that I felt drawn to do because similar to yoga and what you're saying, there's something about getting into your body in a particular way where you can just get out of the chatter in your brain and in a connected way. I mean, maybe for some people like a spin class or running. I mean, actually for some people that definitely works. But for other people, I think who maybe need a more emotional connection than yoga. And I love sound healing. I love, you know, sound baths, because when you're listening to crystal bowls being played, you can't think. You're only feeling, you know? And I think that's a really powerful experience for people.
Yeah. And the vibration also taps into something, because that it's not just the sound in your ears. It's also
you feel it all throughout your body. And that's what's so amazing about it.
We have all these skills, girl. Maybe we'll do like a weekend retreat.
We should do a weekend retreat.
Everybody like
that'd be amazing.
Message you.
Yeah. Hey, you guys, if you want me and Timona to do a weekend love retreat, which I think we should absolutely do. Let's talk about this seriously.
We are like making plans on this podcast.
Send us a DM, a comment, let us know. Because I think
get woo woo with us.
I think that'd be great. So what do you think about things like crystals? And you know, crystals are all the rage now. And like, what do you think? I mean,
I don't know. I think if it helps you, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't have a lot of experience with crystals. I have friends, especially coming from this world, I have friends that swear by crystals, and that's their main practice. Like where I'm doing yoga and going to psychic circles, they're like going to gem fairs and trying to use their intuition to see which gems they're pulled to.
Yeah.
I think whatever works for you. And I think realistically, I mean, we came from the earth. We're also predominantly water as the earth is.
Mm-hmm.
You see like how stones have different
qualities
and like some are magnetic and some, and you see how that affects the earth. I have to think it would also
some effect on us. I don't know if, I mean, I like crystals and I have them just because I love them and they're beautiful and I'm like, hey, why not, right? Like, you know, I've got like a line of crystals on the windowsill in my
I totally have crystals upstairs like for feng shui. So I'm like, I don't buy it, but I'm just gonna hang one here like in case.
It can't hurt and they're beautiful. But I went to this event this past weekend actually, and they had one of the tables of this event was like a crystal, they called it a crystal reading. And so they had all these bowls, maybe like 20 different bowls filled with different kinds of crystals on a round table. And so they directed you to walk around with your left hand over the bowls and just run your hands like over each bowl. You know, I mean, not touching, but just, you know, energetically like above it. And then when you feel something, like that's your crystal, because you're just, and it was so weird because I was like, oh yeah, sure, I'll do this. But I felt something for every crystal, but it was different. Some of them were like, hot. Some of them, some of them felt like it was almost like a button that I was pushing of energy above the crystals. Some of them, there were a couple that I felt like almost nothing. It was really cool. But others were them were vibrating. I mean, it was crazy. I was, what's going on right now? That. I was like, why? And it, so I'm actually, we're talking about this. I'm like, I need to go to a crystal shop. And I want to like do this on my own without that power of suggestion.
Oh, and see if you can do it again.
Yes. Okay, so crystals, yeah, there's something there. I just don't really know what it is. And I don't know if it's just a cool, weird thing. I don't know if it's something that you could actually...
There's so many things that I'm curious about. Like, I also, I'm also a level 2 Reiki healer. I never practice it. I practice it on my husband. And my husband is not woo-woo, by the way.
Yeah.
He's like not, he's super straight.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, not into this. But he supports me, as any good husband should.
Yes.
He loves it when I practice on him. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm thinking he's been having some trouble sleeping. I should lay hands.
This is so funny.
And my aunt, I also practiced on her. She was having a lot of hip and leg pain. Mm-hmm. And again, this was before I was really deep in my psychic medium studies. So I was going over her body and I was like, okay, I'm feeling this area and this. And like everything that I picked up on, she was like, yes, that is, that's where I have pain. And yes, it does feel like that. And then I did the Reiki healing and she... said she'd been going to all these different doctors and nothing helped. And she was like, you know, it only lasted for a few days, but she was like, I was pain-free for like 2 days for the first time in a year.
Yeah. Wow.
And
can you just for people who are listening who may not know
Reiki?
What is Reiki and like what is Reiki
what
healing?
Is Reiki?
What does it entail? Like you're not, yeah. What does it entail?
I mean, basically it's energetic healing. So it's like I would put my hands over your body and
like
move your energy. and move your energy around. It was just like you were saying, like with the crystals, when I put my hands over someone's body, like some areas will like feel hot, some areas will pulsate, and then some it just feels like, oh, the energy needs to be cleared here. And I do like weird breathing, like I kind of breathe the energy out, which totally freaked my aunt out. She was like, you're kind of scaring me. I'm like and I'm like, I don't know how to do this without being weird, okay? So the funny thing is, it really helped her. And then I said, well, you should find a Reiki healer. She doesn't live in LA. So I said, you should find a Reiki healer in your area who does this, if it really helped you. And then she never went. And it's like, that's the funny thing with a lot of this stuff. It's the same thing. I sent my dad to acupuncture for his back. Like, acupuncture is a little bit more scientific, but it's still the same thing. It's energy work,
right? Yeah, it is. Yeah. I love acupuncture. It saved my knees, by the
way. Oh, my God. It saved
my knees.
It is.
I was going to have to do physical therapy,
so
and I did acupuncture instead.
Really?
And it worked. I mean, I had to, a few months of treatments, but yes.
Yeah, it's not overnight.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, Dad, did the acupuncture help you? Yeah. Have you been back? No. So like that's the thing that I experience a lot of times where people have this curiosity about this, but then...
The cynicism is like stronger than their curiosity, even when it works. Yeah. It's funny you say your husband is like not woo-woo. My boyfriend is also not woo-woo. I mean, he's literally a scientist. Like he literally he's a scientist. He's like trying to cure HIV and leukemia. He works in the lab. He's a man of science. When I first told him I was going to do the sound healing practitioner training, he's like, oh boy. And I had taken him, I like made him come to like a couple of different sound baths and he's like, he just falls asleep. He's like, whatever. He's like, okay, well, do your thing, whatever. But now that I have crystal bowls, it is his favorite thing. He'll be like, so how about a sound bath?
And I'm like, I don't believe it, but I...
Now he's like, I've never experienced anything so relaxing. Now he loves it. And now I'm like, well, now you need to learn how to do this for me because I can't just like be giving you a sound bath every night. It's like some work here for me.
It has to be reciprocal.
Funny, yeah. But it's like, but he's still so cynical about it. But he loves it.
Yeah, you know? I can see that look. I don't know if I would call it, I would call it more skepticism than cynicism with my husband, but there's like always a look where I'll be
cynical.
Like, he'll be like, how was class? And I'll be like, oh, it was really good. This thing happened and then this, and then he'll be like, and I could tell he's like, this is such crap. But I know, like I've been tested, Francesca. Like,
I believe you. I believe in you, Jamona.
I could not, I don't know how it works.
You know what
I think?
That's
the thing that's weird. I don't know how
it works.
I just
either.
Do it.
And I think that some of your clients are going to listen to this and be like, they're going to like, call you and be like, yo, okay, where's my reading? Let's incorporate this. Let's bring this all together.
Maybe one day I will, but I think, a lot of times you're called to do certain things at certain times.
I know,
and you have to follow that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I always say this, I do a lot of public speaking as well. And I always say that none of your experiences are wasted. Like,
agreed.
I started out as a casting director, and I started writing profiles on the side because I was teaching actors about how to market themselves and have headshots that stood out. And online dating, I did the same thing to my profile and realized that there was a real technique to marketing your profile using the same strategies I was teaching actors to stand out in a crowd. So, you know, at the time it was like, okay, I'm casting, but now I'm doing profiles on the side. But then I moved into diversity programming, and then I moved into like the Sci-Fi Channel, and I'm like working on ghost shows. And then I was like, okay, now I'm going to go back to doing profiles and helping people with dating, because I worked on all of these reality shows, then made sense for me to start hosting reality shows because I understood what happened behind the camera. So like everything that I did,
agreed.
It's like a perfect storm of all of these experiences. And then the tarot cards, which I, you know, started when I was 12, and now they're coming back. So we don't always know how it all fits together.
We have no idea.
So I just say, like, if you're interested. If you're interested in something, just explore it. You never know who you're going to meet. You never know when you're going to use that knowledge. And if it makes you feel good, or it makes you feel alive, or you enjoy experiencing it, you don't have to worry about the end game. Just live in the now.
Yeah. Yes. I love that. That's awesome. Awesome advice. Gosh, is that, that might be the perfect ending point. Even though I want to sit
I can't top that.
I want to like sit here and talk to you all day, but that was really good. So, okay. One last question. Actually, two last questions, but the last one is just like about how people can reach you and all of that sort of thing. So that's, you know, easy one. But this question is, if you had a megaphone loud enough for the whole world to hear and you could send out one message about love, what would it be?
Oh, that is such a hard question. But I think it's that everyone deserves love.
Yes.
And everyone can find love if they're looking for it.
I totally believe that. I just really, really believe that the world would be a better place if everybody had love. I mean, and when I say love, I mean that broadly, but romantic love specifically, if you want it, right? I think there are some people who don't want it. I think they're in the very small minority, but, and I just think that the more committed people become to like finding love for themselves, that actually has like a ripple effect of benefiting everyone. So I love that message.
I love love.
Me too. And I love you, Damona Hoffman.
I love you too. I'm so glad we did this.
Me too. Thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for going spinning with me before, or taking me spinning with you is more like it.
Anytime.
Yeah, I'm just, this is just awesome. So final question. How can the listeners connect with you? And I'm going to link to, you know, Dates and Mates and your Instagram and everything in the show notes, but is there anything particular you want people to know? Anything you're working on you want people to check out?
Dates and Mates is the biggest thing. Yeah. That's my labor of love for... I'm having my 7th anniversary.
Oh my gosh. How many episodes?
269, I think.
Amazing.
It just feels like just yesterday. But no, I really love doing that podcast, and it really
I love being on that podcast.
I know. You have to come back again.
Anytime.
It's where I give like all of my most current advice, and where I kind of test things out too for like programs that I'm doing. And then I do a lot of content also like on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Damona Hoffman. I will be doing a group program in the fall. So if you want to know about that, you can get, I actually have, I should tell people about my profile starter kit. That's for anyone that's either new to dating apps, online dating, don't
even
know how to get
even
started.
Even if they're not new.
They're not getting what they want.
They need a refresh.
They need a refresh. And I make it really easy. I have like writing prompts, because everybody's like, what do I write about? I have writing prompts. I have like a plug and play profile, so you can sound brilliant and just use profiles I've used that have worked in the past. I have tips on choosing the right photos, and on a lot of the apps, like your photos are everything. So I have a video there on that. So you can get that for free at my website, DamonaHoffman.com.
Amazing.
Or at datesandmates.com, which is my podcast page.
Fantastic.
So I would love people to grab that, and then they'll be in the know when I have the program starting up.
That's awesome.
And then we're going to do a retreat.
We're going to do a retreat.
You can message Franny about that.
It's funny. I'm actually also doing a group program in the fall. Maybe there's some
synergy.
I don't know. We can do something for each other as ladies. That'd be great.
I would love that. Yay.
Thank you, Damona.
And there you have it, my conversation with Damona. I hope that you enjoyed it. Please, please, if you haven't already, take a moment to subscribe to this podcast on whichever platform you're listening. And be sure to check out the show notes for links to all of Damona's social media and to her podcast, Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman, which you should absolutely check out. And if you would like to stay in touch with me, please do so. I am on all social media platforms at Dear Franny. You can follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Dear Franny Podcast. I would so love to hear from you. Please let me know what you're loving about the show. Let me know what you're not loving about the show. And I do want to hear that because I want the show to be better. I want it to be as good as it possibly can be. I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Go ahead and subscribe, rate, review us, stay in touch, listen to the next episode, and I can't wait for you to hear it. All right, have a beautiful day. Goodbye.